The Phoenix Suns going streaking yet again. 7 straight wins coming off of a double-digit loss at home to the Miami Heat. They have won every single game since then, the latest being this nail-biter, not really, but certainly entertaining close game against the Utah Jazz at home. We'll break it down right away on Locked On Suns.
Network, your team every day.
We are back. This is Locked On Phoenix Suns. We are part of the Locked On Podcast Network, and I'm your host, Brendan Kleen, a credentialed media member covering the Suns for the past 5 seasons. I am a contributor at Suns.com and Dime Magazine. Thank you for making Locked On Suns your first listen each and every day. Catching up on the Suns, the best way to do that. Thank you for finding us on YouTube, growing that channel ever so quickly. Honestly, I keep saying ever so slowly. It's not even that. It's been incredible to see the support. And Kelly Oubre is the next grand prize. I am mailing. I promise I have not forgotten about you. You mad bro. I'm sending the towel your way soon. Kelly is the next prize. We are just a bit away from 1,000. So subscribe if you haven't. Tell your friends. Tell your Suns fans in your life. Tell your family. Tell your girlfriend, your boyfriend, your life partner, whatever it might be. Keep spreading the message and getting that channel where I would like it to be. You can also find us on every single podcast platform, and the best way to keep us free everywhere is to listen and watch. So thank you. We have a pretty nice game to talk about in spite of everything, it feels like. The Jazz did everything they could to make this game a snore. They basically punted. They waved the white flag about 2 hours before game time. I mean, the Jazz basically, they walked into this game and decided not to play their players. We already knew Donovan Mitchell in the concussion protocol was going to likely be a scratch. And Rudy Gobert seemed pretty likely after the game last night when he got hurt. Okay, that he's going to be out. But then you look at the injury report by the time the game comes around, and Utah has basically benched their entire rotation with injuries. So Mike Conley, Bogdan Bogdanovic, I do that every single time, Bojan Bogdanovic, and Joe Ingles all out in addition to the 2 star Jazz players. So not exactly the most competitive group out there, but the Suns sort of did what they've tended to do lately, which is play with their food a bit, allowed the Jazz in the second and third quarters to come back, and then completely put the brakes on everything in that fourth quarter. And that's where we'll go right here in terms of the biggest takeaway from this game. I have to say, I called the shot. I called my shot. I called the Sun shot, whatever you want to say. I predicted that this was going to happen. And by this, I mean Chris Paul. I predicted that this was the type of stretch we were in for from him. And I proved to be correct. I think I mentioned he's taken double-digit shots in his past 6 games, scored in double digits his past 6 games. He's been above 15 in like 3 of those 6 games. And they were all, of course, the first 6 on this win streak. So I'm not just picking an arbitrary number here. And look, I didn't think necessarily that we were in for a night like this offensively from him, but 27 points, 14 rebounds, or 14 assists and 9 rebounds for the point guard. And I believe 17 or 19 points in the fourth quarter alone, really, really coming in when the Suns needed it. After giving that lead away, they were actually down 2. Dwayne Rankin had this nugget that the Suns were down 2 when Booker checked out with about midway through the fourth quarter. The Suns go on an 11-0 run right at that point. Paul scores 9 of those 11 points, and I believe assisted a Bismack Biyombo bucket on the other 2 points, making all of those points 11 straight created by him. And then, you know, reining in 3s. We'll talk about the poor soul who was tasked with trying to corral him in that moment to close out the show later on, but that's what he's done. I mean, what makes it almost difficult to come up with words for is that it isn't supernatural. It is not all that crazy. Now, yeah, do I continue to think that it's strange that teams don't try to make him uncomfortable more often? Yes, but I think that's really the thing that's being driven home watching a second full regular season with Chris Paul around this team is, I guess the way to put it is, last year in the conference finals and the NBA finals, the Suns actually did run into matchups that pushed them, and they pushed them because they had an answer for Chris Paul that just a lot of teams do not have. And what I mean by that is we've all heard Chris Paul talk openly on JJ Redick's podcast, in media settings throughout the time that he's been in Phoenix, that he always says that if he were scheming a defense up to stop himself, that he would blitz himself. He would have that big man come, you know, pony up and get out there onto the perimeter, basically force the ball out of his hands, bump him around a little bit, maybe cause him to make some bad decisions, get in his head. What the Nuggets tried to do but couldn't execute. But what I think gets lost sometimes, because it's like tonight, they dropped. I mean, that's what the Jazz want to do, right? They want to drop the big man in this case, it was Hassan Whiteside with Rudy Gobert out. They'd like to drop that guy deep into the paint, have, you know, the point guard defender fight over the top of the screen, maybe have some help at the nail. Very, very, I don't want to say basic in terms of, like, it's not an effective defense because they're a pretty good defense, but, you know, nothing reinventing, you know, modern basketball by any means. That's kind of what the Jazz want to do. So then they did that in this game plenty. Well, what Chris Paul's answer to that is to just rein in pull-up jumpers, whether that's from three or from the mid-range. But of course, you can also switch. But we know that if he gets a bigger person on him who can't necessarily, you know, isn't fleet of foot in that same way, then he's going to make you look pretty silly with some dribble moves because you're going to have to respect that pull-up shot. But he also can drive and kick, or every so often drive to the basket. So the switch doesn't necessarily work unless you really have the personnel to execute it. So what do you do? Well, blitz is one thing, but as we saw in the conference finals and the finals last year, the other option is to just basically play him like you're a linebacker tackling a running back. I mean, that is what the Clippers and Bucks were able to do. And so, you know, Patrick Beverley injured him. Drew Holiday did everything but, and he was uncomfortable for two straight rounds. I mean, we were watching Chris Paul look out of sorts for a month straight outside of a few bright spots, obviously, that game six in the conference finals most notably. But that's sort of the reality with this system, with the amount of spacing and big men role targets that this Suns team is able to provide for Chris Paul. There's just not a lot of opponents that are going to be able to do much. So, yes, I saw somebody in the YouTube comments after I posted yesterday's show where I was talking about Chris and his aggressiveness and the fact that we might be, you know, he might be kind of in this type of stretch where he's ramping it back up with the postseason in mind. And somebody said, well, look, Booker was cold in the Pacers game, so that's why it happened. And there's probably quite a bit of legitimacy to that. I mean, obviously, Paul has a real sense for those things. We're not close enough to the stretch run that I think my explanation of the, you know, tune-up idea is by any means the only reason that Chris Paul has stepped it up lately. Maybe he just feels better. Maybe he knows with Ayton out he needs to do more and he wants to integrate the new pieces a little bit better. I mean, there's all sorts of reasons, and the answer is probably D, all of the above, but the point is that Chris Paul did not play this way for most of the season until the past week or so, and he is playing that way now. And when he does that, it's pretty impossible to stop him unless you have a choice few types of players in this league. They are very few and far between, and clearly The Utah Jazz do not have a guy like that, as we learned. So Chris Paul went up, did his thing, closed the game out, and took it home for the Suns. They are now the winners of seven straight, but he also did not lack in the assist department either. He did it all tonight, so we'll talk about two of the biggest beneficiaries of his playmaking tonight. First, though, quick word from Prize Picks. You've been hearing us tell you about Prize Picks for months here on the Lockdown Podcast Network. And if you haven't signed up yet, now is the perfect time. Because for a limited time, Prize Picks has an exclusive no-brainer offer for each and every Locked On listener. Users get $50 for free if a player in your first Prize Picks entry scores a single point. But you must use the code NBA. That's right. This is an exclusive offer available to Locked On listeners only who use the code NBA. But of course, your first entry is bound to score a point. That's exactly why they're offering it. They want to make this easy, give you that $50 free to keep enjoying Prize Picks. Here's how it works. You pick 2 to 5 players and an over-under on their projections, and you can win up to 10 times on any entry. It's just you versus those projections. So Prize Picks offers any prop you can think of. So maybe for Wednesday, we just saw Devin Booker drop almost 40 points. Maybe you're going to go over on the points for Booker. Maybe you're going to hit that over on assists for Chris Paul, which we just talked about. And then maybe you're going to go under on points for Steph Curry because the NBA's golden god has not been himself lately by any means. That's your three. You set that lineup. You play against the projections. Let's say you hit on all of them. Well, then the cash starts rolling in. It's that easy. Prize Picks is the best, the easiest NBA daily fantasy prop game on the market. You can also do mixed league entries. So let's say you pick the over on Embiid combined with the under on Garoppolo in the same entry. That is allowed. That adds to the fun. Again, prizepicks.com, promo code NBA to get $50 free when your Prize Picks entry scores a single point. That's right. All users at the deposit and use the promo code NBA will get $50 free when their first Prize Picks entry scores a single point. Prize Picks, daily fantasy made easy. Back here, a couple more guys to hit on. Usually I don't like to always just do player stuff. It can get a little boring to just go box score. Oh, this guy scored this many points and here's how this guy shot today. I know that's not what you come here for. You come here for smarter stuff, but bear with me because I do think this will get us there. But it just so happens that both of these players were in the starting lineup. They are part of the same description tonight and in recent memory for this group. And I'm talking about Cam Johnson and Mikal Bridges combined to play 73 minutes in this game. So they were out there for quite a bit. Bridges was the big time guy on Saturday against the Pacers. Tonight, it was more of a Cam Johnson night with Jay Crowder sidelined with his wrist injury. First of all, before we even get into that, because I mentioned Crowder, I owe you guys a huge apology. I went through this matchup on Monday's show, giving you the things that I thought you needed to know. And I said, Donovan Mitchell's going to be out. We didn't know yet about Rudy Gobert, so I won't take the blame there. But, went through the whole injury thing. DeAndre Ayton, what's going to happen? How is this going to look? I did not even consider the Jay Crowder or the Cameron Payne injuries because apparently I can't keep my notes straight, so I do apologize there. But anyway, Cameron Johnson comes in. Not a unique situation for him at this point in time. He started at the four for the entire time that Jay Crowder was out with COVID. So we've seen this before. We've seen this movie before. And we've seen how happy the ending is. And it was again tonight. 20 points, 6 rebounds, 3 steals, 5 of 8 from deep. Incredible performance from Cam Johnson, as we have gotten quite used to seeing from him. Mikal Bridges, on the other hand, as I said, quieter. But a few positives nevertheless. So 5 assists is probably where everybody's eyes are going to go on the box score when it comes to Mikal. For good reason. That is pretty impressive stuff. And even a couple of, if I'm remembering things right, both of his shots came inside, attacking a closeout and making something happen as a scorer just with sheer shot creation, skill, and creativity, and you add to that the assists, which also came in those types of situations, then I would actually make the case that Mikal's night was at least average on offense, even though 2 of 8 from the field is nobody's idea of an excellent scoring performance. He was not bad. But my broader point here is one that I think these guys are learning how to play with Chris Paul, and that's what I meant when I said that they were the beneficiaries tonight of his excellence, because they, basically this team, this Suns team, you cannot stop if you're getting them into rotation. If you're having to rotate to contain them is what I mean. If you are reacting and responding to what Chris Paul is doing as the focal point of this offense and the system that Monty Williams has in place, you're already losing the game. You're losing the battle within the war, I guess you could say, because these guys are so... we talk about playing on a string on offense. These guys play on a string on offense in a way that we usually hold and reserve just for defenses in terms of chemistry and communication and things like that. These guys know what the exact situations they're going to be put in are over the course of a possession. And in back-to-back games now, we've seen basically both players really, really capitalize on that. And Bridges is looking a little bit more like the cutter that we had become so accustomed to during that first season when Rubio was around and Monty took over as coach. And I think that's going to be beneficial for him in the long run. We also just talked about the assists and the passing, and that is developing for him, as well as some of those fadeaway jumpers, reverse jumpers, layups. That package is developing for him too. And then on the other hand, you have Cam Johnson, who obviously is a better shooter, even if maybe Bridges' percentages tend to be higher. We know Cam is probably the best pure spot-up shooter on this team, Devin Booker included. I stand by that. I think Cam's size and the fluidity of his release and consistency of that jumper put him above Booker for me, which I know is saying a lot, but I truly believe it. And so those guys know what their kind of plan A is, but they're starting to figure out their plan B as well. And that's really what I think is jumping out to me lately, because they're both so comfortable. They both know exactly what that role is, like I said. But when you start to break it down brick by brick a little bit, you see that, okay, so Mikhail, I've criticized him for this in the past, but I think he's developing workarounds for it a little bit, slowly but surely here, which is that he, when he's attacking closeout, when he is run off the three-point line and has to dribble the ball into the arc and do something with it, he can only go right. Very, very often, he creates bad situations for himself because he forces himself into those driving lanes to the right side, you know, with his right hand to the right of the defender. And he will often get offensive fouls or turnovers because the defender knows that that's coming. The defense sells out for it, and it's bad. Cam Johnson can go both directions. And so that's what's really exciting about him. That's why you see some of those open lanes for dunks out of nowhere, is that he is pretty darn good at this point at driving past that closing out defender and doing something with the ball inside, drawing fouls, dunking, moving the ball, whatever it might be. So his physicality and brute force as a driver is growing. In addition to that three-point shot, he's cutting the mid-range shots that were so frustrating early in the season. And then Bridges, I talked about the workarounds, and it's okay, let me just actually cut before I even have to worry about the closeout, because if I see that open lane, I can just cut to the basket, get a layup anyway, and not even bother with catching the ball and pump faking and driving and all that nonsense. Let me just get where I need to go. And, you know, I'm going to be a little bit of a better passer. And if I do run into some jams, I'm comfortable with that, you know, intermediate type of shot. So those guys together as scorers, maybe either one of them isn't quite what we hope for in terms of that third scoring option, that outlet, that release valve for this team in the postseason, but maybe the combination of the two of them can be something close to that. And that has been really exciting, and I think it'll continue to develop while Jay Crowder is out, whatever amount of time that ends up being. He's listed as day-to-day, but we know the Suns are going to play things pretty patiently, especially with their older players, whether that's McGee or Paul or Crowder, etc. So I would expect more strong performances like this from Cam Johnson, and the key will just be to line up the games where both guys really explode, because we just don't see it very often. I mean, it's rare that with Paul and Booker eating the way that they're going to have, you know, another two players also go off in one game. It's not common, but I think that this team has it in them, and I think it could happen soon. So let's hope for it, because that sounds like a blast to watch. Let's close things out. One thing that was not a blast to watch was Hassan Whiteside's defense. I'll bring back a throwback, a complete nostalgia trip of a recap segment to close out the show. Maybe longtime listeners will know where I'm going with Hassan Whiteside there. But first, BetOnline wishing you a happy new betting year as we make our way into 2022 and the playoffs in football continue. The best time to be a bettor, the best time to sit in front of your couch and enjoy all that's going on in the world of sports. BetOnline remains your number one spot to make a bet throughout 2022. And with that new year comes a new updated website. So that's, again, betonline.ag. They also have a mobile app. Head over to your preferred venue there and make an account. And when you do, use the promo code LOCKEDON when you make your first deposit to get a 50% welcome bonus. That's promo code LOCKEDON when you make your first deposit to get a 50% welcome bonus straight to your account. From the football playoffs to the basketball stretch run and beyond, even your favorite Vegas casino games in there as well. Don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available at BetOnline in the new year. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to make a bet. BetOnline, where the game starts. People who have been listening since last November, which is crazy to say, over a year of doing this show solo, we just crossed 1,000 episodes. I didn't do a big to-do about it. I kind of regret that, honestly. I missed it. I didn't realize, and then I didn't want to do 1,001. But those of you who have been around for at least the section of time when I've been going solo here, you will remember that at one point in time, I celebrated the greatness of Chris Paul with a recap segment here in this third portion of the show where I like to loosen things up and have some fun. And that mini recap segment in the third segment of the show was called the Facundo Campazzo All-Stars. I believe past members of that squad included Willie Cauley-Stein, I know, made an appearance. I want to say JaVale McGee may have made an appearance last season when he was not a Sun. And, of course, Facundo Campazzo himself made an appearance. It was based on, if you remember, the first time that the Suns played the Nuggets, they split a back-to-back, one of those doubleheaders just like we're seeing with Phoenix and Utah right now. And Campazzo checked into the game before the Nuggets had all those injuries and Campazzo was playing a ton. This was when he was sort of like on the edge of the rotation. And he came in and Chris Paul basically made it his God-given mission to devastate, embarrass Facundo Campazzo. That was the origin of that segment and that All-Star team. And I have to say that another member of that team materialized tonight. It is not Jordan Clarkson, although his defense continues to be non-existent often, but it is Hassan Whiteside. I mentioned him at the beginning of the show, and what's ridiculous here, I know it's honestly old news to make fun of Hassan Whiteside's defense. It's not as if I'm breaking ground by, you know, unveiling this take to people. He was a no-show for the Kings. He flamed out in most of the situations that he's been put in. He's been playing better in Utah because the job is fairly simple for the big men in that defensive scheme. But in this case, it was not so simple because the Suns uniquely are positioned to take advantage of what Utah tries to give up, which is the pull-up jumper. And they don't necessarily have much to say when a person can pull up from deep. They have even less to do when somebody has the dual capability of getting to that mid-range shot in such a perfect, pristine way like Chris Paul can. And so when Chris Paul scored, you know, 15, 20 points in that fourth quarter, it was mostly because of Hassan Whiteside's lack of versatility and mobility as a defensive player. I mean, go to YouTube and look up the highlights right now, and you will see Chris Paul raining jumpers over Whiteside's outstretched arms. It's not even as if he was like falling down and getting his ankles broken. He just cannot contest those shots. And I'm sorry that his body works that way. I'm sorry that the scheme is such that those shots are bound to happen if you can make them. But the reality is the reality. He is now enshrined alongside numerous other respectable players. This is not the end of your career to end up on the Facundo Campazzo All-Stars. Campazzo's still out there trucking. So is Willie Cauley-Stein. To as much devastation as that might cause Mavs fans, he's still clucking. So that's the fate that Whiteside has entered into at this point. Chris Paul has certified him as a member. So I don't know if you guys remember others, but we'll just leave it there. Campazzo, Cauley-Stein, and Hassan Whiteside. We'll see who else gets added. I had to bring it back. I mean, it's almost like it's rude a little bit, and it's not exactly crazy that Chris Paul embarrasses people, but it deserves to be celebrated, especially on a night when he's 27, 14, and 9. I mean, come on. On that note, though, I mentioned that the Utah scheme is designed in a way that the Suns are always going to be able to exploit it. That's in large part why they've been able to beat the Jazz in this era so consistently, although this game's hardly indicative of that. But last year they had their number. This year, we'll see what happens on Wednesday, but I would imagine that that matchup will go pretty similar to what it did last season. And a big part of that is those jumpers and the way that the Suns can make them, not just Paul, but Booker too. A big part of it is DeAndre Ayton tending to play up to the competition against Rudy Gobert in these matchups. The Suns have a little bit more of a plan to guard Donovan Mitchell and Mike Conley than the Jazz have a plan to guard Paul and Booker. So that's a part of it as well. But all of that is to say, the other recently created recap segment that I'm bringing back already here after I pulled it out of nowhere in that Mavericks recap. I mean, I do, you know, have to give myself the pat on the back. But anyway, the segment is called Fun But Not That Hard. Fun But Not That Hard. And we got another one. You already know, if you've been listening, that I buy the Grizzlies more than the Jazz already. I just do not believe that Utah is in a position to improve on the defensive end, especially in the postseason, over what they've been in the past. I don't have any reason to go off of that. Offensively, yes, it's going to be a handful. I think the Suns can handle it. I think they can match the scoring output. I also think they can do some things defensively to actually quiet down the Jazz offense. So you might not be surprised to hear me say that if I'm believing in the Grizzlies more, that the Jazz don't quite scare me, but I think this would be a fun series. I think it would be a high-scoring series. I think it would be some fun subplots between the Booker-Mitchell thing, Ayton versus Gobert, even Paul Conley, some, you know, the veteran point guard stuff. There's some chess piece stuff that could happen between small ball and big ball and offense-defense substitutions. How much can Jordan Clarkson play? All these things would be fun. I would not hate a Suns-Jazz playoff series, but it would not be that difficult. It reminds me, honestly, of, and I don't mean to be disrespectful, but it's how I feel. I don't believe that the Suns would have much of a struggle at all playing the Jazz, and it reminds me of the Nuggets series in the second round last season, and I understand they were very depleted, but it just feels like the Suns have an answer for everything that this Jazz team wants to do, and I felt that same way going into that Denver series, where people were feeling so great about Jokic, his MVP run, oh, Aaron Gordon's there, it'll be different now, et cetera, et cetera. It did not end up being different because the Suns just had an answer for everything. They had an answer for Jokic. His name was DeAndre Ayton. They had an answer for the blitzing defense that the Nuggets were running. It's called Chris Paul. They had an answer, and I think this the same thing with the Jazz. I just don't look at this Jazz team and think anything they do would be a game breaker, a deal breaker for the Suns. And so, yes, they are the second member in addition to Dallas of the fun but not that hard squad here. That is just the reality. There's not a lot of teams in the West that freak me out if I'm the Suns. And a lot of the scariest teams to me are in the East. And then, of course, you have the Warriors. And that's about it. Unless the Clippers miraculously get healthy or the Nuggets really look different if Murray can come back. That's the end of the list for me right now. And the Jazz don't make it. So this was not necessarily the best version of that. But just as you guys are getting ready for Wednesday's game, when maybe both teams will be a little healthier, maybe Crowder plays, maybe Gobert plays. Obviously, Conley and Bogdanovich should be back. Ingles maybe as well. Just be thinking about that. Does this team actually scare you, despite how good they are on paper and in the record column? Does it actually worry you as a matchup? And I think my answer is no. That'll close us out. More thoughts on this matchup tomorrow, in addition to maybe reading some more trade tea leaves. We'll see what comes up. I think it's going to get busier and busier on that front. Maybe Tuesday will bring us some news. Enjoy that Tuesday, folks. Apologies on the YouTube thing. If you are usually a watcher over there, a viewer, a subscriber on YouTube, I had my YouTube shut down on me. The platform we use to stream halfway through the podcast, 10 minutes into the podcast. So pardon me. Look, I'm losing the views on it too. So I hate to do it this way, but it's 11 o'clock at night and I don't have the time to troubleshoot. So if you normally watch, appreciate you finding your way to the podcast platform anyway and listening. We are always here. We are not going anywhere in terms of the audio version either. So thank you for that and your patience there. Nothing will be wrong tomorrow for all intents and purposes. You can go right back to YouTube on Tuesday. And of course, right after the buzzer on Wednesday after Jazz Suns Part 2. But that's all for another day. I will talk to you then.